It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of John, the Gospel of John, and we're going to begin reading today as we look at these verses again in the fourth chapter, and we're going to start reading with the 19th verse, and so that'll get us a start on a little bit of review and then back to the study. John chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 19. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope now that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Beginning now to read John chapter 4, verse 19. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith unto the men, Come, see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And we're going to end with the reading there in the verse 29 and begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come to your word and enjoy it. I just ask that you will guide and lead us today. Show us your way and show us your will. And I just thank you for the power and for the strength that you give us as believers in you. And please, dear Father, that you will continue to grow us each and every day. We know that the growth begins only upon coming to the cross of Calvary and trusting in you as our Savior. We must come by faith to you and accept you as our Savior, realizing, recognizing that you're taking our sins away and you've set us free, and we have that wonderful covering and saving power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, dear Father, for all that you've done. I hope that no one misses today the opportunity, the thought of not coming by faith to Jesus, that they would come today and trust in him today and not miss that. It's the most important decision ever to be made in your life is to come by faith to Jesus and then begin that wonderful walk. And so please, dear Father, touch every heart today as we enjoy this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We find that this Samaritan woman, as she continues to visit with the Lord Jesus himself, God up on this earth, as he has come to seek and to save those that are lost. And as we find this conversation continuing to be longer and longer as they're talking here, and it started at the well, Jacob's well, and there was some discussion there as far as, are you more powerful than our father Jacob? Well, we talked about the problem with the Samaritans and being intermarried with several different nationalities, different peoples, and that was forbidden. God wanted the Jews to be completely separated. And God has chosen the nation of Israel to reach the world for him. They have desperately failed to do that, and now we are about to open up the doors for the church age, and that's where we have been for the last 2,000 years. But Jesus approaches this woman. Every time that Jesus goes in any direction. There was a purpose. I have needs to go through Samaria. And so they did. Again, that was forbidden by the Jews. They would, as we've talked in the past, not only not to go through Samaria, they would go around it, which was a lot longer, but they would even pray to God that they wouldn't even see a Samaritan. That's how bold and how self-righteous and arrogant that they had become. Instead of having mercy and kindness and reaching out to all the world, here is Jehovah, the God of Israel, can be your God too if you'll come and believe in Him. That was the message they should have had. But instead of that, they did not have that message. They had a message as of in, I am the only one that God loves and God cares for, and everyone else is heathen, and we're going to keep it that way. And so it was so sad that they missed everything. Well, we do the same thing. We get so tied up in our religion today that we forget the purpose. The purpose is to reach out and share the gospel with the lost, that they would be saved and come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Conversation started way up in verse 7 there. It says, give me to drink. Well, the Samaritan woman wanted to know what you have to do with me, because you're a Jew. She was very evident. She knew exactly the condition and the treatment that they had gotten in the past. And then the conversation continues, and the woman is just seeing earthly things, things of the flesh. How are you going to draw water? You've got living water, you say. Where is it going to come from? You don't even have a rope and a bucket to draw this water, and this well of Jacob's was very deep. And the other question was, is you have a better place to get water than Jacob's well? That's the best. Well, we find down in verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, speaking of the water from Jacob's well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so Jesus is telling her that he has salvation for her. Doesn't matter where she's from or what her name is. And so then it continues there, and the woman asks, okay, I don't want to have to come and draw water every day like I have most of my life. And so please give me this living water, because that'll sure make my workload easier. Well, once again, she went right back to the fleshly side, to the earthly side, and she missed completely a spiritual need she had, because, you see, she is spiritually dead because she is in her sin, and she has not asked the only one that can take it away and forgive her, and that is the Lord Jesus, of which she is speaking to. So she, give me this water. Well, Jesus brought a point to her that made her very much aware that this is somebody different than just a common man. Because he says, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman says, I have no husband. And then this is the response that was strange to this woman. Because thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. You know, we think of today being a day when no one seems to understand that they must marry and enjoy that relationship. Everybody just lives with everybody, and they think that way it eliminates any commitment, things like that. And so it's just a sad state of our society today. Well, it's not new to society, because we find it down here in this time. Some 2,000 years ago it was that way. She'd been married five times, and I guess she decided that wasn't working very well, and so she just lived with the man. Well, when Jesus confronted her with that information, the woman said to her, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And what's that have to do with anything? Well, you see, that's the way people talk. You know, first of all, when you speak to someone and you tell them that God loves them and God wants to save them, and use the word God always, instead of the word Jesus, because there is power in that word. Now, our God sent, our Father God sent His Son Jesus here to earth to live for that 33 years and to show that He was God and that's what we're experiencing right here, and then to face the cross, die upon that cross, shed his blood, be buried for 3 days, and then rise again and go back to his Father 40 days later, back to heaven. And that's where he is right now, awaiting his return to come and get his church. We learn all that from the Word of God. And now Jesus, right here, standing, talking to this lady. And all of a sudden, for the first time, that he has confronted her with this sin. And says, I know this. Well, she changes the subject. She said, you know, we don't worship in the same place. What's that have to do with what they were talking about? Not a thing. But she changed the subject. And, you know, when you're talking to somebody and you tell them, you know, Jesus saves and you need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, all of a sudden they begin to name that I'm a Presbyterian or a Methodist or a Catholic or a Baptist or an Assembly of God, whatever you want to say. That's what I am. That isn't what was asked. That's not what we were talking about. We were talking about Jesus. But you see, people immediately today change the subject. And they go to, well, here's where I go to church. Well, that's exactly what this woman did. Boy, isn't it something how nothing ever changes? Nothing ever changes. That wasn't the question. I wasn't asking you to my church where I attend. I was asking you to trust in Jesus as your Savior. That's what I was doing. Well, then now we just continue with this conversation here. But look at verse 19. The woman said, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and I say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Well, here's Jesus' response, verse 21. I'm in the fourth chapter of John, if you've just joined us. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, we're going to take some a look at that statement there that our Lord has made, because all of a sudden, again, the woman changes the subject, and, you know, when conviction comes and some mention of the name of Jesus is listed, why, then we jump to another subject. Well, we don't believe in immersion for baptism, or, you know, our church where I attend, that we don't do it that way. We're not talking about your church. We're not talking about a denomination. We're not talking about a religion. We're talking about a living Savior that died on the cross to save you. And I want you to know him. I want you to have your sins forgiven. And then the Spirit of God that lives within you will guide and lead you to the place that you should be serving God and worshiping God. We're not talking about that. We find here in this 22nd verse that Jesus clearly condemns the religion of the Samaritans. Now, you find today that if you question a religion, if something is said to you and you says, well, you know, they don't believe the Word of God, well, what makes you right? Well, my friend, the only thing that makes anyone right is if it is what the Word of God says. Whether that's me or you or anybody else, the only one that is right is the one that stands upon the Word of God. See, well, that's your interpretation. There's no interpretation to it. The Word of God. The Word of God confirms the Word of God. It's not someone's interpretation. Now, that's what you get into with a lot of denominations and religions. They have taken their own opinions, and that's what they've made doctrine of their church, and that's what they believe. Well, I'm sorry, in most cases, many, many cases, it is a false teaching. It is a lie. It's not the Word of God. Now, Jesus here could have said, yes, I know that you worship in the mountain, which they knew immediately what that is, Mount Gerizim is, and I hope I pronounced that correctly, and that's where they had erected a temple, and that's where they supposedly worship God. But God says, no, you can't. You can't. Well, it's believed by the Samaritans, at least history tells us, that they believe that that's where Abraham offered up Isaac. They also believe that that's where Abraham met Melchizedek. Now, if you know your scripture, why, you know those two stories, and if not, why, go back and study the book of Genesis. It is a beautiful book, a wonderful book, and I want you to see it and find it and enjoy it. And so please look to the Word of God for your source, not to your church library. The only thing that you need to grab out of your church library is the Bible, is the Word of God, not your church doctrine and things like that. We need to get back to the simple way that God intended it, and that is for us to search the Word of God. And so now here is something that the Samaritans believed. It was a lie. It's not true because Abraham offered up Isaac on Mount Moriah. We know that. And so what they are standing on, there's no scriptural background or authority for them, for their religion, for their place of worship. None. And sad to say today, again, many of our denominations and religions that we have, we find to be the same. I'm not going to name any of them, because the only way that you're going to know whether you're right, get the Word of God out, trust in Jesus as your Savior. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved. All those are words from the Scripture. And we just need to know the Scripture. I love studying the Scripture. I study the Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And as we enjoy those studies, we've studied Genesis, we've studied Exodus, we've studied every book, every verse of every book, all the way to the middle of Psalms so far. And that's just on a Wednesday night study. That's not counting the other Bible studies that we have. That's not counting the radio programs that we have, because we do that. It's not the Sunday morning service. This is a study that we do for the radio. It doesn't include the Sunday night study. It doesn't include the Tuesday afternoon ladies' Bible study. It doesn't include the Sunday message. All those things, we study the Word of God. And it's not uncommon to be in 7 or 8 different books of the precious Word in studying it in a week's time. Oh, that's joy. It's so exciting to study the Word of God. Well, see that you study the Word of God and not your doctrine. This woman of Samaria, she was trusting in some man. She was trusting in some man. They had no revelation from God. They had no commandments from God. Their worship was man-made, and God never approved it. Well, I would say that we could probably go through 1/2, 2/3 of the denominations and religions of our day and could check those off as Jesus did this Samaritan, because they at one time they may have been very scriptural, been right on the line with the Word of God. But as man continued to look and to change and to think about it, why, all of a sudden these things got changed. It made their religion or their denomination more comfortable. Even today, we have a term that is the most ungodly term, and that is user-friendly. It's user-friendly. And so it is so sad. But we find that Jesus condemns this. Ye worship ye know not what. You see, God's not there. Because at this time, the only place to worship was in Jerusalem. Now, he's going to explain that's changed today. And he explains that very well in the next few verses. But right now, we need to see that at this time, for them to have another place to worship was not in any way of God. The only thing that he can do is to set her straight, is to condemn her for what she's doing. He didn't condemn her to hell for it. He's given her an opportunity of salvation. And so this, again, the worship of the Samaritans was man-made. And I think you might be surprised if you would check where you go to church, how much of it's man-made. You may have still held on to salvation by faith and faith alone without any works. You may have that. I hope you do. You may be in the place of immersion for baptism, following salvation, not for salvation, but following it. You may hold on to that. And yet you may, in looking, you may find that there are many things that you do that you think is so very important, and yet it's not, because it's not by according to the Word of God. It's by some man's teaching. And I'm afraid that all of us fall into that. And so we need to be aware of that. They had no right to believe that their prayers were heard or their offerings were accepted. None whatsoever. And today, I don't care where you go to church or what the name on your church is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've invited Him in. Know when you've asked Jesus to save you. When you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, God does not hear you. It's just like these Samaritans going up to this mountain and praying there. God did not hear. They were praying to another god. Paul would refer that to be one of the unknown gods. Remember, if you have studied the letters of Paul, and he makes reference sometimes that there are so many statues and so many things of all the gods of the world, and he even named that one as the unknown god. They emphasized the problem that the Samaritans did. They were emphasizing this place of worship instead of the person. Because you see, yes, the Jews were required to go on three different dates of the year. They were required to travel to Jerusalem and to worship there. And so that was a requirement. But the reason it was required, because they were worshiping a person. And that person said, come to Jerusalem. And that person was none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They were worshiping contrary to those words. So they were worshiping a place. And you may do the same thing. Do you come into your church and you look at the building? We should keep the buildings up in very nice order. They should be very neat. But many times we get so carried away with all the beautiful stained glass windows and all the beautiful woodwork, and we come in and, oh, I am so proud of my church. Well, the only question I'm going to ask you is, are you more proud of the building than you are Jesus? Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for you. That building did nothing for you. That building has one purpose and one purpose only. It gives the believers, it should never be called a church to start with. We've kind of acquired that. We should never call it a church, because it is not a church until the people are there. Never is it a church till the people congregate there. So it should be just an assembly hall or a place of assembly. It would be, but today the church and the building is many times more important than who you're coming to meet. And I don't mean your neighbors. I mean the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, today we can meet as it says here, but the hour comes and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that's today. That's what we're doing today. So, yes, you don't even have to come to a given place. And so I'm not about to say, because it would be not according to the Word of God, that this is the only place to come and worship God, because that wouldn't be true. Because you can worship God anywhere. But at this time, they were required to come to a certain place. And Jesus even makes it a little clearer. Their salvation is of the Jews. You can't make up your own religion. It's of the Jews. Now, at this time, that's exactly this. That was the end of verse 22, if you want to read that. John chapter 4, verse 22. He not only told her she didn't know what she was doing, but he also identified that there is only one that can have, possess salvation and give it out. In other words, do it the ways the way of the Jew, because Jesus gave the commandments, gave the way of worship, gave the way of offering sacrifices. All those things were given to the Jews, and then the Jews were to give them out. Now, they didn't do that very well, but that's what they were supposed to do. And so salvation is of the Jews. We know what we worship because we have the authority of God. Now, I hope, again, that you're not tied up into this beautiful building and you come in and, oh, I just feel so good because this building is so beautiful and so magnificent. Because if that building means more to you than your Savior, maybe you don't know your Savior. You need to trust in Jesus, and then things will begin to happen. Things will begin to change. You'll begin to have a wisdom and understanding of the Word of God for the very first time. You'll begin to realize that, yes, the building that we come to worship in needs to be clean and well-kept and look nice. But we don't need to get carried away with spending dollars, millions of dollars many times, to make something that we think is special to God. No, what's special to God is our heart. And for us to worship Him and praise Him and honor Him. That's what's special to God. It's not some building that we come to meet in. And so please, that you understand that. I just ask that you think about that. And I hope that you know Jesus as your Savior. And again, we come, the hour comes and now is, means the hour of salvation. The hour of salvation for whosoever will. Oh, what a promise here. This, the hour comes, and we're going to spend some time with that a little bit. I want you to turn with me to John 13, verse 1. John 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. We look at that, the hour. The hour is come, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You see, our Lord Jesus come to this earth and died again, as we've said. We say it many times. There's not a study that I ever have that we don't speak the gospel. Jesus died on the cross to save you, and I don't want you to miss that. You have got to trust in Jesus Christ, and please don't get mixed up like this Samaritan woman did. And, you know, now listen here, we worship in the Mount. We don't worship in Jerusalem. Where is the right place to worship? Asking all these questions. I'm just asking you one question, as do you know Jesus as your Savior? And you need to trust in Him. And so the hour is coming when the work of salvation will be complete, and the Holy Spirit will come down into the hearts of every believer when we do come by faith to Jesus. And that's the time we're in right now. That's the opportunity we do. We do not have to go to a certain place like Jerusalem to worship. We can worship Him, and the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Now, this to worship in the Spirit is to worship from the heart. And the only way that we can do that is to trust in Jesus and get a new heart. I don't know if you've ever heard anybody say, you need a new heart. You need a heart transplant. Well, the only way you have that is if you turn your life over to Jesus. Jesus, I'm sorry. I trust in You. Please save me. And you're born again. You got a new heart. And now that new heart, of which the Holy Spirit is part of that, allows us to grow and to study the Word of God and to fellowship. And how are we to do that? We're to do that in the truth. Jesus is the truth. The Scripture is very clear. He is our way. He is our only way. And so please, as we continue this study, look to Jesus. Look to Him as your Savior. trust in him today. We're going to find this woman in Samaria, and we read that. Come and see a man which told me all things. Is not this the Christ? I hope you're asking that question today. It is the Christ. Trust in him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?